my pride, hear my call. Hold thy hand, bless thy fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
It's my my joy to be here today. You know, we did not know where we would come today. It's the fifth Sunday. I had several thoughts, but did not know that you were in the condition that you're in. But we do give thanks that the Lord has sent us this way. And but I know, regardless of how you feel, I know how it is when you have that burden to preach the gospel. We'll try to take a few minutes here and see how the Lord leads. I want to go to Jeremiah this morning. You know, Brother Charles is praying. He was talking about that fear of going to hell. You know, we have been given such a hope in that finished work that the Lord has done for us, that sometimes we don't even give thought to being anywhere else other than being with the Lord. I mean, God has been so gracious in the showering of His mercy and His love upon us, that sometimes we as God's children forget that if it wasn't from that mercy, if it wasn't from that grace, that hell indeed would be our destiny. We have mapped it out ourselves, and we have crafted our own lot and our own way. And so sometimes we just, I know I do, we tend not even to think about what could be because we rejoice in what is. The 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah, the 31st verse. And it reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And you may say, what does that got to do with me? Okay, the Lord's making a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Well, brethren, we are recipients of that mercy that God is showing to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. You know, we consider, we have our Thanksgiving gathering. My family, it's been our practice, I guess, that we all kind of get in a circle and give thanks for something. And I think it was my baby sister who was talking about, she's really into genealogy and stuff like that. But one thing she said that touched my heart was that she gave thanks for being an heir of that promise that was made to Abraham, that seed. We are, brethren, a part of that seed. When we think about God's mercy and God's grace, and as He speaks to the house of Israel about this new covenant, That is because he had entered into that covenant with Abraham, then he told Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And the multitude of that nation would be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore, a number that no man could ever number. But you see, God, in his infinite wisdom, you know, we praise the Lord for all that he's done for us, and we lift up our voices in song and in praise, but sometimes not remembering that the grace and mercy that God has showered upon us this hour, and every hour that we're blessed to call upon his holy and righteous name, is a gift and a blessing from him and from him alone. And brethren, we have done nothing at all to be entitled to this blessing. We didn't go out and earn it. We did nothing at all that was considered good in the eyes of Almighty God. But you see, we're just likened unto the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They had a covenant that they could not keep. We couldn't keep it either. You know, brethren, we can look back and we can look at over time and we can say, I could have done that. Well, no, you couldn't. We can look back and say, I wouldn't have cried out, crucify him. But yes, you would. His sins that he bore on Calvary's cross was for you and I, and all of those, that untold number that God purposed to love even before time was, have a part in that, you see. It wasn't just somebody else's sins, but it was my sins.
Yeah.
And it was your sins that he took upon himself as he hung on Calvary's cross. I don't care how old we are. I think Sister Bertha was 96. Brother Alfred at Bethel is 100. He just turned 100 years old. He's 100 years and I guess a month now. You know, we consider those days and that we've been blessed to be here. But you see, brethren, I don't care whether we live to be a day old or whether we live to be 100 days old. We all are in that same set of circumstances, that if it wasn't from the grace of Almighty God, hell would be our home.
Right.
That place that we never even think about, or never even think to give praise to Almighty God, that he has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, that we no longer have to fear, no longer have to wonder about how life will be when we leave this time world, because our hope is in him. And in his finished work on Calvary's cross. That's the love of Almighty God, you see.
Amen.
That we don't walk around heavy burden and laden, wondering about how things will be. Because we've been given a hope. That we know that we will be satisfied. And that when we're absent from this clay tabernacle, we'll be in the presence of our Lord. Now, what greater blessing could we mere mortals ever think to have or achieve in this time world? We have been given all things. And God does all things well, brethren. He doesn't leave things to circumstance. He doesn't leave things to us messing up when it comes to life eternal. But we, brethren, just like the house of Israel and the house of Judah, we need that new covenant, you see. When the Lord said on that day, that supper with the apostles, this blood is a new testament.
Right.
That cup, brethren, represented that blood that would be shed on Calvary's cross, not only for the house of Judah and Israel, but for every heir that was promised in that covenant with Abraham. Every single one of them neither one would be missed. Neither one would be left behind. They all rest in that same security that we have, a hope that we rest in today. You know, I was listening to radio coming back from the shore. And this guy, I think he thought he was preaching. Man, if you're talking about God's little children being feared to death, being put in, and not only today, but you better make your confession today, and you better stick to that confession, and you better run that race. You better not stumble, you better not trip, you're not about to do anything, because if you dare do any of those things, hell will be your home. That's what he was proclaiming. And foolishly, God's children will labor in this time world needlessly in hopes of achieving and running that race so well and so perfectly that they will escape hell. You see, brethren, if you think about this covenant that God is talking about, if we were able to run a race in such perfection, we wouldn't need the covenant, you see. If we were that good, if we were that perfect, and being able to keep the law of Almighty God, then God would not have needed another covenant, would he? And God wouldn't have to have said that there's none righteous, no, not one. God wouldn't have to say any of those things. I don't know, and Brother Adam wouldn't have done what he did. You see, he would have not, there would have never been no fall. Sin would have never entered into the world. And we can sit around, we can think all of these foolish thoughts, but the bottom line is that sin did enter into the world.
It did.
And Adam did fall. And by the grace of Almighty God, this new covenant that he's talking about gives hope to people. A people that he loved, even before he told Jeremiah about the covenant, you see. Oh yes, Jeremiah was some 600 some years before the Lord came. But God didn't just, that idea of that new covenant didn't just pop into God's head 600 years before the Lord came, you see. That covenant between the Father and Son was entered into even before the world was. God didn't wait to see how things would be. God knew how it would be.
Sure he did.
You see, he's not like us. Well, I'm going to wait and see what happens, then I'll make a decision, you see. God knows. He knows us, you see. It is he who has created us and not we ourselves.
Amen.
And while we think that we might know God, and in some aspects, God has blessed us to know things of him and things about him, we will never know God as he knows us. You see, God's understanding and his ways are far above our natural understanding and our natural ways. God's holiness, brethren, is a holiness that's beyond our human comprehension. While one sweet day we hope to see him in his full glory, when one sweet day we hope to be absent of this clay tabernacle, to be able to fully praise him as we ought, and as we desire from time to time, today is not that day, brethren. Today we see him through eyes that are tainted by the things of this world and by this clay tabernacle that we sojourn in while we're here. You see, brethren, but praise be to God. He's not hindered in his mercy and grace that he showers upon us. You see, our lives are limited. Our ability is limited. We can't heal ourselves. But we serve one, brethren, who has no limitations.
Amen.
He has no restrictions. He's able, brethren, to touch you, and all will be well.
Right.
He's able to lift you up in the midst of the storm. And the storm will be raging around you, but there will be peace all about you, you see. That peace that passes all of understanding, liking into that peace when Jesus rebuked the winds and he simply said, "Peace, be still." Well, you see, brethren, he can still our hearts. He can steal our lives. I don't care what's going on. We serve a God who is able to calm that storm. No matter what the trouble might be, brethren. Doesn't matter what it is. He's able to do that for us, brethren. Oh, but do we have sense enough to ask? You see, we're even limited in that sense. Oh, Brother John's not trying to be harsh when I say, do we have sense enough to ask? This sinner don't even have sense enough himself from time to time. That's just been my lot. As much as I believe and as much as I want to. Oh, brethren, there are times when this sinner doesn't even have the presence of mind to simply to call upon his holy and righteous name. I know he's there. And you know he's there. Oh, brethren, but what is the sense and purpose of knowing when we seemingly walk about as though he was not? Harsh words, brethren. But sometimes it's just time for us to take a mirror and look at ourselves. Sometimes it's just time, brethren, we just need to be still, brethren, and know that he is God and that we're not. That it be still, brethren, and ask God just to have mercy upon us, that we might see him in the midst of it all. We can have trials. And trials can be just like, why me trials? Why me, not him? Or why not her? We can have those kinds of trials in life. Or we can have trials, brethren. We're simply blessed to praise the Lord for the trial that came along. Perhaps I wasn't even thinking about the Lord today. But you see, that trial came along. I'm thinking about him now. You see, brethren, God is able to work through those things. He's able to use those things to his glory and to his praise. He's able, brethren, to bring us to that mercy seat where we don't have sense enough to come on our own. He's able to bring us to our knees, that we run to that mercy seat because we realize we have nowhere else to go. And we realize from whence cometh our help. Because our help cometh from the Lord. It don't come from anywhere else. If the Lord is not in the matter, brethren, don't even begin to think you will get a deliverance there. Our help cometh from him, and it cometh by no other hand, you see. Oh, if one offers you a helping hand today, praise be to God, because God moved that hand to help you, you see. It's not about anything else, brethren. It's about a God who loved you and loves you with an everlasting love.
Right.
And in verse 32, he says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because they failed it, you see. God wasn't going to give them another covenant likened to the first covenant. Because just as they failed that first one, so do you and I, each and every day of our lives. God has given to us His law. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep them. And he said, what is the essence of the law? To love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, well, Brother John, that's just two things. No, you see, all of those things that God would have us to do is wrapped up
right.
in those two things.
Right.
And just as easy as you said, well, Brother John, I can do those two things. No, we will be just like that young lawyer who says, who is, by the way, Scripture says, seeking to justify himself, who says, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Oh, we can look around and say, oh, hey, brother, you're my neighbor. You're a good neighbor. But who is my neighbor, you see? Well, Jesus told that young man who his neighbor was. But you see, the story wasn't just for that young man. It's for me. It's for you. It's for all of us, you see. So while we would seek to justify ourselves just like and do that young lawyer or whatever his profession was, just like he did, we would. And brethren, that is just a picture of who we are. We didn't steal it. It is our nature. You see, because it started right way back in the garden. When Adam says, when God comes to Adam, and Adam says, well, it was that woman, you see. Now, was Adam seeking to justify himself? We're the same way, you see. Lord, is that man, is that woman, is that child, whatever it might be, and it's because of them that I have transgressed against you. No, it's because of me I've done it. And it's because of you you've done it. Don't try to blame anybody else. We all transgress. And we all seeketh to justify ourselves. Brethren, sometimes I think we don't even stop to consider who it is that we're trying to justify ourselves before. Now be real. God is God. And to think that we would even stoop to that level that we're going to seek to justify ourselves in the eyes of a holy and righteous God who knows everything about you. Before we even open our lips, pray that God would just bless us to realize how ridiculous it is that we're going to seek to justify ourselves when He already knows your heart.
Right.
He knows your motive. He knows exactly why you did what you did. But yet, we've got 10 other reasons to justify why we did what we did. You know what those reasons are worth? It's just like that righteousness that the old prophet speaks about. That our righteousness in the eyes of Almighty God is but filthy rags. So is our self-justification. That's all it is. We can't, you see. Which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. And what God is saying that I was a husband to Israel and to Judah. And I gave them my covenant. I did not stop loving them. I did not stop being God. But yet, they break it. Just like you and me. praise be to God that our God changeth not.
Amen.
Lest we would be consumed, brethren. Amen. Praise be to God that he does not change. That he is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forevermore.
Amen.
You know, we serve a wonderful God. Blessed be his name.
I knew I was in trouble when you looked at your watch. I was enjoying it so very much. So very much.
Should have required him to take his watch off before he... I have thoroughly enjoyed the preaching and the meeting this morning. It's been a very encouraging time for me and just very, very thankful. I thought about calling Brother John as soon as everything kind of happened. And then I thought, you know, well, the Lord knows the situation, and I knew there were other places that he may be led to go, and I knew if I called him, he'd come, and I just wanted it to be of the Lord. But it sure was a delight to get here this morning, look across the street and see him standing on the, on the steps outside. I do believe the Lord sent him this way, and feel even better about that after he has preached so ably to us this morning. I'd like to read a very familiar passage in your hearing found in the 20th chapter of the book of John. And don't intend to be here very long, but would like to share one thought that's been very much on my mind this morning. John chapter 20, I'd like to begin reading at verse 24, excuse me. John chapter 20. This is information given to us in God's Word by inspiration of God on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and after his resurrection, the actual time that under consideration here, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Thinking about Brother Thomas, and how I see so much of what he had a problem with in me. The disciples, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for fear of the Jews, gathered together there in the house. And it's a good thing they gathered together. When it's a time in your life where you're in doubt, or you're in fear, or you're troubled, it's wonderful to have others of God's children to be able to gather with and to meet. And though there was absolutely no help for them in each other in that room, they were at a good place when they assembled together. Sometimes we don't see the absolute importance and need to gather as we should. Brethren, there's nothing really more important you can do in this world than to come out of the cares and troubles of this world for a little while and gather together with the Lord's people like we have this morning. And we come in all kinds of different ways, don't we? I mean, sometimes we come so lifted up we can't hardly wait to get there. So anxious about being with the brethren, so encouraged about things, so excited about God's grace and how good He's been to us all week, so hopeful for what's coming in the future, so lifted up that you think, well, I'll never get down again, and that's always a good time to come to church because we come to thank Him. And if you've come that way this morning, I'm really happy for you, and I'm thankful for you. But there's often many times we come in other ways. Sometimes we come because we know it's a place to go, though it seems like sometimes our meetings might be as not as warm as we'd like them to be, or I can't feel what I used to feel, or I can't seem to believe like I once believed, or I can't seem to embrace Him as much as I once embraced Him. And you long for revival. Not so much revival, you love to see it among other people, but I need it for me this morning. I need it to feel His presence. I need to know He's real. I need to know that He is who He is. You see, if Jesus isn't who He is, this world is just empty. The whole book of Ecclesiastes has the subject and the theme of the emptiness of life without God, the emptiness of life without Jesus, the emptiness of life without, it has no purpose, it has, our existence is really very meaningless. Let's face it, none of us have lived very long, don't care how old you are, whether you're young in years or whether you're in the mid areas of your life, or whether you're at the twilight years of your life. Brother John mentioned a brother 100 plus, and I've known those that live that long, and others that seemingly die very, very young. And if that's all life was, it would be pretty meaningless, wouldn't it? I mean, because I have found as the years pass, they pass quickly, and time moves on so rapidly and so fast, and you know, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, that at one time seemed like a year was so long, they just seemed like they just happened. And it's just, if that's all it was, and we'd all just die, and that would be the emptiness. Even if there wasn't a hell, if there wasn't a torment, even if there wasn't anything else, how empty this world and our existence would be, and meaningless life is, if that's all there is. And I want to know in my heart and believe better in my heart and embrace better in my heart the reality that that is not all there is. Now, listen, I know that. There are sometimes I forget. I believe that, but there are sometimes I'm in unbelief. I embrace and have tried to embrace the reality of what Jesus did for His children and pray that it was done for me, and I hope and believe that it is. But there are sometimes you get so discouraged and so low, you wonder, oh, if He died, did He really die for me? If He really is, if He's there, I need to hear Him. I need to confess Him. And so many of God's children are even afraid to even think a little bit that that might be me, because they're so willing to try to justify themselves, they have no room to confess that I have a doubt. Brethren, it's a great blessing to see and understand that our salvation isn't in us in any way, shape, or form, but it's completely in Him. And I'm telling you, when the disciples lived here in this world, they were mighty men at times. They spoke and devils listened to them and followed, and had to be obedient to Him when they spoke in the power of the Lord. They were given the ability to go and preach, and the Lord blessed their preaching. The Lord was with them. And we see them so strong in the faith, we think, well, surely none of them would ever doubt. None of them would ever think like I do. None of them would ever get afraid. None of them would ever huddle up and be so afraid of what might happen to them that they're afraid the door was shut, and certainly if they would ever get in that case. Listen, if salvation is in what men do, these boys are in trouble. If salvation would be in what you and I do, today you and I would be in trouble, would we not? Here they had gathered together, and they were there afraid to death. When Jesus came in and said, "Peace be unto you," rather than them having peace, they got scared to death because they thought they'd seen a ghost. They thought they'd seen a spirit. They didn't know what had happened, because even though He had told them, they were in doubt and unbelief and did not understand all that was going to take place. They had watched Him die, but now He's risen again. And there had been those dear women that came and said, "We've seen the Lord." And rather than these faithful men believing that, they were scared to death. And when Jesus appeared in their presence, rather than giving them immediate peace, well, it scared them. But He says in these verses before, it says, "And then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And he said in verse 20, he said, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." You know, when I come here and I can hear in the preaching the Lord, and I can see Him, and I can believe, and I can understand, and my faith is increased, I am strengthened, I'm able to hear again those things that I know in my heart, but sometimes the world's clouded up, and then I'm able to see Him, and I'm able to feel His presence, and He sits with me, and I feel the touch of His gentle hand, and I know that He's in my life. And then the things that I've forgotten about, I see His handprint all over my life. Listen, I see the Lord all over my life, don't you? He's been with me. He's watched over me. And He's taken care of me to the point that old Gary should never doubt. But then there are sometimes I do. I wonder, even to the point, am I His or am I not? You know what I need? I need to get with the brethren. And I need to feel the presence of the Lord. I need to hear again what He's done for me. I need to see again and to tell me again that story. Most precious. Tell the wonderful truth that we've heard Brother John so boldly and humbly declare before us, that salvation is indeed in what Jesus did for us. When Jesus came into this world, He came to save His people from their sins. And He did just that. He took in His own body every sin, every transgression that would have separated for us from Him forever. And He bore it in His own body to the tree of the cross. And He paid a sin debt we could not pay. And removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered against us anymore. And our life is not empty. We have purpose. We have a reason to be here in this world. Listen, the love that we feel one to another is real. But we would have not had that love had He not first loved us. The joy we feel is real. But He's the one who's given us that joy. And even in the midst of trouble and heartache and uncertainty and despair and all the things that come our way. And you know, sometimes we think, well, when others are going through it, you can kind of handle it. But when it comes home to your door, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. But I want you to know the one who's the same yesterday and today and forever is the same one who came here. And it says, then and when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Why did He show them His hands? Because His hands had nail prints in it where He was nailed to a cross. Why did they show Him His side? To prove that this wasn't just a spirit, but this was His very body that had hung on Calvary's tree, that was nailed. He came as the Son of Man and as the Son of God, and He paid as man our sin debt and paid it in full to show them, this is who I am. And it isn't about how well you've trusted in me, because I'm telling you, these old boys weren't trusting at all. They were wondering, where are we going now? What are we going to do now? But did that change the reality? No, not at all. Brethren, you might be scared to death today about, is He mine or is He not? But it doesn't change the reality that if He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. And that if He died for you, He paid the sin debt. And whether you embrace that in fullness or not is not going to change the fact that He did it. But let me tell you what it does change. It sure changes your peace about it, doesn't it? I'm telling you, these boys are in trouble. I get hit with a problem, I can get in trouble real quick. I get the church has a problem, I can get in trouble. I can worry and get concerned and fret and scratch my head over it. All it does is pull another hair out. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't fix anything. But I'm telling you, we've got a God who is able to do exceedingly above anything we can ask or think. And if you need something, you ask Him. He will supply that which you need. Not necessarily what you want, but that which you need. And as we look to Him day in and day out, He's the one. And where do we hear this declared? We hear it among the assembly of the saints, among the body of believers. And we can help one another not be faithless, but believing. And He said when He had showed him His hands and His side, then were the disciples glad. I love to see when the disciples get glad. Listen, I need to see the disciples glad. Sometimes we look so sad. Why are we so sad? Sometimes we look so troubled. Why are we so... We ought to be the happiest people that exist on the planet. You said, but the world's in trouble. Yes, but He's overcome the world. And listen, I've got problems and sickness and illness and other things, but I'm telling you, you've got a great physician who can lose no case. And he said, well, I might even die. Well, if you die, you're blessed, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, well, what if I live? Then He'll give you grace sufficient. Which day? Every day. The day you're in now and the day that's coming. And listen, it's just a little while. It's just a short time anyway. So what should we do? Live every day as unto the Lord. Give Him the honor and the praise and the glory. And God forbid we would leave faithless today. You said, faithless? Can you give me faith? No, I can't give you faith. But I'm telling you, there is one who has given you faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who gives faith as a fruit of the Spirit to every one of His children. He gives you the ability to believe and trust in Him. And wherever you are in life, listen, little child of grace, you need and I need to trust in Him and lean upon Him and depend upon Him, because without Him, everything else is empty. And with Him, we can say this with the Scriptures, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That means with a fib or without it. It means as long as I live. And when I die, I don't have to be afraid. All of us, if we are honest, will say at times we get afraid. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say that. Not in order to brag on your fear. A lot of God's children are afraid to say they're afraid, because they fear that if I say I'm afraid, that means I'm not trusting. And if I'm not trusting, maybe I'm not His child. Listen, God's little children can fear and do fear. But remember the voice of the Master who says, fear not. Fear not. He said this. When He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side, and then were His disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When do you and I get glad? When we see the Lord. Does the circumstances have to change? No. Does anything have to change? No, just when we can see Him. I need to see Him. I need to hear Him. I need to feel His manifest presence. And He says, and when He had said this, He breathed on them. And He said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let's get back to Thomas real quick. And He says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. See, Thomas missed the meeting. He missed the gathering. And that didn't affect that Thomas was a little child of God, but it sure affected Thomas's feelings about it. Missing church won't change you from being a little child of God, but it sure won't keep you as happy as you ought to be, as joyous as you ought to be, and as knowledgeable as you ought to be about what the Lord has done for you. There are great benefits in gathering with the brethren. Somebody might say, well, if I gather with them, there's nobody over there that can really help me. There isn't anybody in that group that can really help you, but the one who comes in the room can help you. And I'm telling you, He's the only one who can help us. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about a church door. And if any man will come and open unto me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. The whole congregation may be having their minds or thoughts somewhere else, but God's little children and me, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He'll come in and He'll sup with you individually and He'll sup with me. I feel He supped with me this morning and it's helped me. It's helped me feel better. And if you talk to my wife, you'll know I needed to feel better. confession is good for the soul. It's not a verse in the Bible. But we should acknowledge him in all our ways. And there are some times we're doubting when we ought not to doubt. We should be trusting and leaning on him. Listen, he's worthy of our trust. Every time I've ever trusted in him, he's never ever let me down. How about you? And I don't want to miss that blessing today of just simply trusting and leaning upon him. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." They were excited. "Look, Thomas, we got some good news for you, Thomas. We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." This is a little child of God in unbelief. Somebody said, "That's an impossibility." We got proof that's possible. Because here's Thomas. In open confession, unbelief. He's not just thinking it inside like we do. Sometimes we think it and wouldn't dare say it. Thomas was bold enough to say, "I will not believe. The only way I'm going to ever believe, listen, I watched him die. And the only way I'd ever believe is to be able to put my hands into the finger, into the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side." And he said, "Until that, I will not believe." And he spent 8 days like that. How comfortable do you think Thomas's 8 days were? I've had some of those days. Have you? And after 8 days, the Lord suffered him to have eight days. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, he just said, "Peace be unto you." Oh, what a master. What a Savior. You ever wonder why he puts up with you? I wonder why he puts up with me. You ever wonder why he still is good to me after all? I've said, "Lord, oh, forgive me this time. I'll never do it again." And the next thing you know, old Gary's doing it again. "Lord, if you'll just forgive me this time, I'll think different. I'll act different. I'll talk different. And I'll do my best." But then even my best, when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And I'm an old wretched man. Without his salvation, there is no hope for me. And the good news is, he's the same every day. And if he's ever loved you, he'll always love you. And he came to that very one that said, "I will not believe." And he said, "Peace be unto you." And without asking, "What do you think, Thomas?" he said directly to Thomas, "Thomas, this is what you need." He didn't say, "Thomas, what do you need?" He knew what he needed. You know why? Because he knows all things. And he looked right at Thomas, who made that bold statement. And he said, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach into thy hand, and thrust it into my side." He said, "If this is what you need, Thomas, here I am. Here I am." I love this, "and be not faithless, but believing." Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, listen, did he reach in? No, he didn't reach in. You know why? Because the Lord had worked in here. Isn't it wonderful when he works in here? It just changes it. It just changes it. Circumstances didn't change. It just changes it. And he says, "Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said, and I believe he cried it. He said, "My Lord and my God." In other words, "You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the resurrected Savior." He saw and understood what he had not seen and understood. He said, and Thomas said unto him, and Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Listen, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Brethren, has God given you a heart of faith to be able to believe? Then I say to you, if you have that faith, which is the gift of God, exercise that faith in believing. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. Believe that he is the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. Does that mean how a dead man gets alive? Listen, it's only the living that are enabled to believe. You have to be alive first. You have to be quickened. You have to be born from above. You don't do some action to get to live. You act because you're alive. How did you get alive? By the grace of Almighty God in the work of the new birth. You're born of His Spirit. And then He gives you in your heart faith, whereby you're enabled to believe, and then you're to exercise that faith in believing. And in believing Him, you're able to have or enjoy or embrace or live that eternal life that He's given you. Listen, it's talking about having life. He came that we might have life, but also that we might have it more abundantly. May the Lord bless us to truly live in a way to honor and glorify and praise His name. He's worthy. Listen, he came to a Thomas that was full of doubt. I'm thankful that he'll come to a Gary that's full of doubt. And you can put your name there when you're full of doubt. He came and died for you. He will not lose one for whom He paid the sin debt for. He will not lose one. He cannot. He will not. What a blessing. And what a Savior. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.